could it really be? That stuff was sending skyward isn't going all the way. Just floating like a blanket underneath it, we all.
And, hey, why can't the presidential candidates even acknowledge environmental harms or even mention the word climate change? That is the topic of a great column by Ann Carlson, and Ann is joining us now. She's a professor of law and the inaugural faculty director of the Emmett Center on Climate Change and the Environment at UCLA School of Law. Had to get you on the line and see what you think, if you could expand on those comments, because you had a great write-on blog post about this. Those of us climate change people, as Candy Crowley referred to us after the debate when she said that she didn't get to a question on climate change, she sure got to a lot of other ones we've heard plenty about. It really is mind-boggling. Is it not, Ann Carlson, what they're leaving out? Annie, with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Here. Okay. Thanks so much. Yeah, I think it is mind-boggling that in two debates we have yet to discuss climate change. And as I understand it, in the foreign policy debate, the topic of climate change is not on the agenda of the moderator, even though it's clearly a global issue. I think it's especially mind-boggling, obviously, because it's the biggest environmental catastrophe facing us. But what I found disappointing yesterday was not so much that there wasn't a question on climate change, although I would have liked to have heard one, but that there was a lot of discussion about energy. And both candidates, it seemed to me, were trying to out coal, oil, and gas one another. Now, President Obama was willing to talk about alternative energy, and he clearly has invested a lot in trying to promote wind and solar energy. But he also did a lot of, I don't know, crowing or, you know, trying to pump up his own record on expanding oil and gas drilling without ever mentioning any of the environmental consequences. And I find that puzzling.
Puzzling is a nice way to put it. Yeah. Astonishing, abominable, a lot of things we could say.
Well, just one question. So one of the questions that I have about this is, there's got to be some focus group of undecided voters in swing states that's leading the Obama administration to think that they shouldn't discuss environmental issues, and I don't buy it. I don't get why it is considered to be so politically controversial simply to say that there is a consequence to us expanding our use of fossil fuels, and that consequence is climate change, and not just climate change, but also, as your previous speaker acknowledged or discussed, air pollution consequences.
Right. Well, and in fact, there are studies at Yale and other research showing that, in fact, majority of Americans do believe climate change is happening, and that, in fact, mentioning it could be, John Krosnick, also at Stanford, has done this work, that it could be a wedge issue in the positive direction. So is it possible they don't read these studies?
Yeah, the Yale study in particular focuses on independent and undecided voters who are overwhelmingly climate change believers. So again, I don't understand the politics. Maybe I'm missing something. I do understand that, the slowing down of the production of coal is an issue in places like West Virginia. I'm not naive about that, and I understand that there's a big political campaign to paint Obama as anti-jobs and anti-coal. So I get why he touts his accomplishments in encouraging drilling and so forth, even while I don't agree with it. But I don't understand why part of the conversation can't also be about the consequences of that thirst for oil and gas. Let me just say another thing that I found troubling last night. When there was this testy exchange between Romney and Obama about whether Obama has increased or decreased oil production and permitting on federal as opposed to private lands, I thought it raised a perfect opportunity for Obama to say, look, one of the reasons that we slowed down drilling for a while is because we faced the largest oil spill disaster in the history of the world with
exactly.
The Deepwater Horizon oil catastrophe. And so we did the sensible thing. We slowed down to make sure that it wouldn't happen again. But it seems to be too politically unpopular to even utter the words Deepwater Horizon, and I find it a little baffling.
Aggravating, really.
Aggravating, yes.
It almost should be against the law. I mean, it's gotten to the point where, with scientists saying we have 3 to 5 years to turn things around, with the next administration occupying 4 out of those 5 years, it should be topic number one, and it's not even on the agenda. And whatever is going on in the background to distort this really strange, you know, this surreality is the only way I can describe it, should be outed. I mean, is it simply the, I mean, it's not simple and it's not anything to, you know, dismiss lightly, but the influence of the fossil fuel industry. It seems that the Koch brothers are winning the day. And who's going to pay the price? Everyone.
Yeah, now to be fair, I do want to again stress something of the last that your last speaker said, and that is that the difference between the Obama administration and a potential Romney administration on issues including climate change are enormous, and it really is worth stressing to people who are listening to this show. And the Obama administration has actually done more for climate change than is often publicly recognized, not just in raising fuel economy standards, which I think was a tremendous move on the Obama administration's part, but also in establishing the first ever greenhouse gas regulations on utilities. So the administration has done a fair amount, and the subsidies for and the stimulus support for alternative energy went a long way toward giving solar and wind a boost. The support for the production tax credit, which helps make wind and solar more competitive with traditional fuels, those are all great things. So I don't want to say here, or I don't want to leave the impression that the Obama administration is doing nothing on the environment. I'm simply baffled by their unwillingness to speak about it in public debate settings.
And I even know someone who is a big Democratic donor, and she actually had Obama's ear when he was in San Francisco a week or two ago and said, why don't you say and do more on climate change? And he went on, this is me reading between the lines of a message I got from her, to say how much they are doing. And she, I'm sure knowing her, said, well, do more, say more, you know, raise the volume. And you wonder, you know, if this is coming from a major donor to his party, his candidacy, does that not count? You know, he didn't mention the word still. And that was as recently as 1 week ago, actually, exactly a week ago, that conversation took place. I'm sure the president has many conversations every day, but this one, if I read it correctly, should have stood out, and yet apparently not enough.
So here's the other puzzle for me with respect to thinking about the politics of the debate, because clearly that's what's driving this unwillingness to discuss things like climate change. And that is, who are the debates really focused on? So I understand that, of course, undecided voters in the swing states are the principal target, but they're not the only target. And one of the things that Obama campaign needs to do, I think, is energize the base and get people out to vote and get the kind of enthusiasm levels at least closer to the 2008 levels than they have been recently. And so, again, ignoring environmental issues, it seems to me, is disappointing to the base. Now, I think overall the debate last night was good for energizing the base. I think, you know, Obama did a quite successful job in otherwise going pretty hard after Romney and doing it in a very effective way. But just to come back to the politics of climate change, I'm with you on this one. I think that they could do and say a lot more, and it wouldn't harm them politically, and I think there's a good chance that it would help them politically.
And just to underscore that sentiment, remember at his acceptance speech at the Democratic Convention, President Obama got, if not the largest, the second largest rousing round of applause when he said climate change is not a hoax. This is something that is going to impact us and your children. And I don't have the exact quote, but you, of course, recall that.
Right.
It was not timid applause. It was like pent up, you know, excitement or frustration, if you
right.
will. That should be a clue to those who pay close attention, those who analyze the debates, his people.
And then there's a final point I think I would make that is less about the politics and more about the morality here. We need leaders on this issue. This is the most vexing environmental problem of our lifetimes. It is one of the biggest problems our children and their children will face. And we need people to step forward and be bold and be visionary about this and to say what might be a hard thing to say if, in fact, I have the politics wrong. And I'd like to see the president do that. I'd like him to stand up and say out loud again and again, we have to do something about this problem.
Hear, hear. We just have a couple minutes left, Anne. If you could tell us a little bit about the program at UCLA. I wasn't aware that you had a climate change environmental school, and I'd like to sign up if I can.
Sure. We have the first program at a major law school devoted explicitly to climate change. It was funded by incredible generosity from Dan Emmett and his family. And we do a number of things. We provide great opportunities for our students, including in the last couple of years taking them to both Durban and Copenhagen for the international talks. We issue a lot of reports on the effectiveness of climate regulation and climate legislation. We've weighed in a lot on AB 32, California's efforts to reduce our global or our greenhouse gas emissions here in the state. We publish a lot of reports, on issues that are related to climate change, but also touch on other environmental issues, really important things like groundwater, chemical policy, and so forth. So what we're really trying to do is to affect sort of all three missions of the law school, the educational mission, the research mission, and the service mission. And it's a great program, and we've got terrific students, and we've also one of our big missions, which I think we're increasingly accomplishing, is getting our students into the kinds of jobs that will really allow them to make a difference and to really take their passion about doing something about climate change and environmental issues and do something with it professionally.
So are you seeing growing interest in this subject area?
Hugely growing interest. When I started teaching at UCLA now almost 20 years ago, I always had a couple students who were interested in environmental issues, but not very many. And, you know, they were kind of they were pretty much on their own. And now it's a combination of the numbers of students who are interested and the passion they bring to the issue is just like night and day compared to what it was 20 years ago. And, you know, that passion is born out of emergency, right? The downside of the passion is there's good reason to be alarmed and there's good reason to be passionate about it. But the upside is that there are a lot of very talented, very smart people trying to figure out how to make a difference in their, you know, in their professional careers by really devoting themselves to
this issue. Or as I say, the bad news is the good news. Things have gotten so, you know, extremely terrible in terms of the weather being a manifestation of climate change, you know, hitting our country, that that's got to be waking people up, everyone except the presidential candidates and politicians, it would seem.
That's right.
Majority of them. There are some good ones, a few
of
them.
Yeah, and California gets a lot of credit here. Both Schwarzenegger and, actually starting with Gray Davis and then Arnold Schwarzenegger and now Jerry Brown, really committed to trying to get California to lead the fight in the United States to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your blog post at Legal Planet, I believe is the name of your site.
And, that's right.
So for all your great work at UCLA. Glad to know you're out there and that there's so much student demand. And, you know, last time I checked, students were voters, at least the older ones who can vote. And that
yeah,
would be all of them.
Yeah, a lot of students are old enough to vote, definitely.
Exactly. 18, right? So why don't they pay attention? Maybe they will. Maybe they'll hear this show and say, you know what, that third debate, we really ought to talk about global warming in our, you know, global debate.
Great.
Thanks so much, Ann Carlson.
Thanks for having me, and it was a pleasure talking to you. Bye-bye. Okay.